I'd like to call the Transportation Finance and Policy Division to order. We don't have a quorum, but we do, one thing I'd just like to note, a lot of them said to you, cancel the meeting or don't. We can't make that decision. That's a decision by leadership, and we weren't informed. Certainly maybe the Senate has, but by the same token, I think there are people that came in, and we want to accommodate as many of those that were here so they wouldn't have to come back. And is there any problem with any of the testifiers of the committees for some reason that you have to change or move up in the agenda? We anticipate we're going to take the group from the railroad group first, which I believe they're the furthest out of town.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you're first.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
Again, I'd like to call the meeting to order so we could start. Representative Morrow, we'll take your group first, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And again, most of the bills that we'll have are bills that are going to be laid over for consideration in the bond bill, and we probably won't have any votes except the one division report.
Okay. Listen, why don't you just all come up at once?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Would you want to just move the bill a bit?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to move House File 660 to be laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Members, this is a bill, a bonding bill concerning the Minnesota Prairie Line. This is a freight rail line that runs through five counties and several legislative districts. In my area also, Representative Broad, Representative Seifert, Representative Coonan, and others. This rail line was built in about 1910 to 1912, and last session we were able to secure $3 million in bonding authority to start or to continue rehabbing this line. I'll let the testifiers talk a little bit more in detail, but we're back to ask for more bonding authority to continue this work. It costs about $500,000 a mile to replace the rail track. But I'll allow our testifiers to talk a little bit about the line and about the economic development associated with the line.
And again, for the testifiers, I think you're aware of the time limits we have.
We'll try to make it as brief as possible. My name is Bruce Pinsky. I'm chairman of the Minnesota Valley Regional Rail Authority that represents the five counties from Norwood.
If you could get closer to the mic, Mr.
Pinsky,
was that? Yeah.
Okay, we'll start over. Is that better?
Right.
My name is Bruce Pinsky. I'm the chair of the Minnesota Valley Regional Rail Authority that serves the five counties from Norwood to Hanley Falls. The rail is owned by the government. It's a government entity registered with the state of Minnesota, so there is no private interest in this rail whatsoever. We contract with Minnesota Prairie Line to operate the rail, and they're a subsidiary of PCW that runs to Blanco that way along Highway 212. And with their line, we get into Minneapolis where we can ship all over the world. As a matter of fact, our company ships to every state in the United States and every country in the world where we process foods, fruits and vegetables, and the name is Fanta Foods. It's the number one company in the world. So we use the rail as much as we possibly can and support it 100%. We think it's time to make a significant move in development of the rail. The authority started out, there wasn't a train, there wasn't even track hardly there to start fixing up because it got abandoned. But we think it's time to make a better improvement now. It's a value of many things. You hear that from other people. So with that, any other questions later can be, I'm going to bring up, I guess we'll have Dean Short right now. He's the chair of the legislative committee for the coalition that was developed from all the cities and counties along the line. And Marlo, can't remember your last name, Marlo, but whatever, the mayor of Bellevue.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Pinsky. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Short.
Mr. Chair, committee members, for the record, my name is Gene Short. I am a retired Redwood County Commissioner. I am the past or vice chair of the Regional Rail Authority, and now I'm the chair of the Legislative Committee for the Coalition. Thank you, committee members, for taking time to hear testimony today, and we've been very fortunate over the past few years to have received federal funding and grants, and working cooperatively with MnDOT and the Mercy Program. Thank you for the Mercy Program, and we really continue to support that. Without that, we would not have been able to do the initial rehab. We are in the process now of paying back the shippers and paying back the operator, our rail authority's share of the 20% that's required for a match on the Mercy Loan Program. We have gone from the initial rehab that started in the year 2000, and by October of 2002, we shipped our first rail car. At that point, that very first year, we had about 1,000 cars that were shipped. This past year, we ended up shipping 7,000 cars. It's growing at about 1,000 cars per year. The ethanol plant in Winthrop, Heartland Corn Plant, is shipping on the average of about 3 unit trains per month going to California, and about 2 unit trains per month of dried distiller grains going to California. So it's really been a regional effort. It's affecting a lot of southern Minnesota, and ultimately affecting a goodly part of the state. Within your packet, I did include, on the left-hand side, near the back, is a sheet that deals with greenhouse gas emission reduction. And a lot of the numbers that we received there came from Minnesota Pollution Control. So they were our resource for a lot of this information that we were able to gather. But very interesting with the greenhouse gas emissions, the buzzword that's happening today in this state, and bills in both the House and the Senate referring to reduction. We're doing our part, and I'm happy to say that that's just one of the side benefits of regional rail. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll hold for questions in case there are any.
Thank you, Mr. Short, and I'm glad you mentioned greenhouse gas, because apparently that's going to be an issue. But I have two questions. Does that complete what we, the last couple of years, the total line which you needed to upgrade? And also, what's the speed now and an upgrade? Are you still down to 5 miles an hour? What?
The terminus on the eastern end of our line is at Hamburg, where it joins with Twin City Western Track. We have rehab from that point as far as Green Isle. And we need to go from Green Isle, yep, west for another approximately 84 miles, I believe it is. Through some federal grants and the bonding bill from last year, we're able to do approximately another 6 miles. With this bonding bill request, we hope to do about 20 more miles. So it's a little piece at a time. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Are there questions from the committee? If not, the mayor, Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Short, the cost of upgrading the entire track is about $70 million one end to the other. Does that include a couple bridges you need to redo? Is that in that mix also?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, that is correct. The bridge is crossing the Minnesota River by Morton, Minnesota. And it's quite an extensive bridge, as well as a trestle. So that number is within that $70 million.
There seems to be conflicting testimony on the handouts, the bullet points. I thought it included the bridges. And that's primarily, some of it's speed, but a lot of it's also for weight for the newer, heavier cars, right?
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, that's correct.
Okay, thanks.
You have another testifier?
We do. We have one more testifier.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Marlo Sander. I'm from I'm the mayor of the small town of Bellevue, about 400 people. And where I come on board is that western third of the rail and stuff. You know, it's a lot of us little towns. And because of the inquiries, ourselves are creating an energy park adjacent to the rail, and we hope to develop that along with the success of the rail. Thank you.
Any questions to the mayor? If not, I appreciate the fact that the gentleman came in. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Chair, I believe that Mr. Pinsky was going to mention. Mr. Chair, members, thank you for your time. This is an economic development bill. We've had a very large fertilizer plant be developed because of this rail line. We have a company that's beginning a transloading intermodal site because it has access to this rail line. And today, we received exciting news that an 80,000 square foot distribution center from the Land O'Lakes Company has now finalized arrangements to build along this rail line, in part in the expectation that this rail line will speed up from 7 to 10 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour, and that it will be able to take not 30 rail cars, but over 100 rail cars. But we need stronger rail to do that. This is just one piece, one of those economic development projects that we're able to do if we keep fixing this line. So thank you, members. Thank you very much for your time, and I would renew my motion to lay this bill over.
Thank you, and the bill will be laid over.
Thank you.
Is Peter McLaughlin? I didn't see him come in. Is Peter in? Oh, there he is. Welcome to the committee, Mr. McLaughlin. I'd just like to point out, we've got not only a snow situation, we've got a member situation, and testifier to reworking our agenda. We probably maybe make some adjustments.
We're fine. That's fine. Thank you for hearing my testimony today. I'm Peter McLaughlin. I am here today in my capacity as chair of the county's Transit Improvement Board. You have with the green border on the top, that's the county's Transit Improvement Board legislative proposals, and on page 2, it contains the list, Mr. Chairman and members, of the bonding proposals that we are advocating. The state bonding, as you know, Mr. Chairman, has been critical to the success that we've achieved so far in building a new modern transit system in the metropolitan area, and we appreciate all the help that the state has provided in doing that. The requests are part of our effort to create a regional system, and I would point out to you as I move through this that this list of projects, these requests were approved unanimously by the County Transit Improvement Board. So you have the five counties that are the members, and we approved these proposals, this set of proposals, unanimously across the five counties across the metropolitan area. As I go through this list, Mr. Chairman, you might turn to the last page, which includes this map, and you can follow along with the map as I make my comments, and then as the other proposers come forward, we're going to talk about the individual lines. You've heard testimony previously on our requests for Central Corridor, the Union Depot, High-Speed Rail, and the Northern Lights Express, which is the passenger rail line from Minneapolis to Duluth. In addition, today you're going to hear testimony from proponents of the Southwest LRT line, the Bottineau line, Rush line, and Cedar Avenue busway. And with that testimony, in addition, there's been a bill introduced on Robert Street, which you are scheduled to hear next week. As a matter of context for this discussion here today, Mr. Chairman, the federal government has included $8 billion, billion with a B, for high-speed rail in the stimulus package that was approved and signed by the president in the last 2 weeks. That's $8 billion to invest in high-speed rail across the country, and we will, as a state, be able to compete for those funds. In addition, President Obama has included an additional $5 billion that he's indicated he's going to request in each of the coming fiscal years as a part of his 2010 federal fiscal 2010 budget proposal that he just unveiled this week in Washington. So
There's $8 billion that's been approved by Congress. The president's asking for an additional billion for high speed next year, and he's indicating he's going to ask for an additional billion each of the next 4 years after that. On top of that, Mr. Chairman, in the U.S. House of Representatives, in their 2009 appropriations bill, they have included the following appropriations that will affect the metropolitan area. $71.166 million for North Star, which is the final payment under the full funding grant agreement with the federal government. That will complete all payments necessary from the federal government, the state, local communities for the North Star line from Minneapolis to Big Lake. So that's the last installment that's been approved in the House. The bill will be taken up now by the United States Senate, and we're optimistic about getting that approved as well. In addition, there is $20 million for the Central Corridor. This is, again, the 2009 federal appropriation bill passed by the U.S. House. $950,000 for the Cedar Avenue busway. $534,375 for the Southwest LRT line. $475,000 for Red Rock, and $475,000 for the NLX line. Federal appropriation, if it goes through the Senate and signed by the President, would be in excess of $93 million in federal fiscal 2009. This is their catch-up bill. Over $93 million, which I believe is the most money we've ever gotten in any one single year from the federal government. It exceeds what Met Council had been predicting we'd be able to get. And I think it's an indication that our federal partners are there, willing to invest in these corridors. They believe in the success we've had so far, and they're ready to continue to be a partner with us. I think it's a big, big deal, because in these corridors, we're looking at the federal government to provide 50% of the funding. And so they've been coming through with their commitment. We've been a strong partner at the local level, and this committee and this legislature has been as well. So, Mr. Chairman, these requests that you'll be hearing today from these additional lines are part, again, of our attempt to create a regional transit system depicted here on this map. We've been trying to make sure that these proposals are for funds that we need, you know, in the coming year, so that we can in fact continue to move forward and build the kind of transit system that we're all hoping for. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to stand for questions.
One question, Mr. McLaughlin. The high-speed rail, there's money requested in this year, and the additional money you're getting, that's 100% federal, right? So you don't have any more requests for anything other than that?
Mr. Chairman, it is not clear. The federal language, and I don't have it here, that was in the stimulus bill said that the federal money for high-speed rail could include up to 100% from the federal government. They have not decided yet, and it will be decided by the Secretary of Transportation. He's supposed to be developing guidelines and a plan for use of the $8 billion in federal high-speed money. He's supposed to have that plan together within 120 days of the signing of the stimulus bill. So we do not know, you know, at this moment, whether it is, in fact, 100% federal money. In addition, I think it's fair to say that state governments, Mr. Chairman and members, state governments have been the ones that have taken the lead in advocating for and doing the initial planning for high-speed rail. So we have a request that you've heard for high-speed funding. I think it's important to make sure that the state does have some funding in this. State of Wisconsin, for the line from Chicago to the Twin Cities, the state of Wisconsin has invested a considerable amount of money. We have been lagging behind. I think it's important to have some state money in the game in order to have the capacity that we need to take advantage of the federal money. So I don't think it's necessarily going to go away, and we don't really know yet whether the 100% federal money is actually going to cover this. But we need to do some catching up, Mr. Chairman and members, on the planning side of the high-speed rail if we're going to be caught up with Wisconsin and the state of Illinois.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. McLaughlin, I just wanted to thank you again for all of your incredible work on getting the CTIB up and running and your work on transit over the years. You outlined, you know, the money that we're going to get from the stimulus package for high-speed rail and how this kind of additional appropriation will affect these corridors. What about the stimulus money for the actual corridors and transit in the region. Are you getting information on that as well? I know that CTIB did some work and advocacy on that.
Mr. McLaughlin?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hornstein, it will be, Northstar is done up to Big Lake. There may be an opportunity to invest in a park and ride that would be incorporated in a bus feeder system from St. Cloud, for example, into the Northstar line that could then be converted to a park and ride for an extension of Northstar if we end up doing that to St. Cloud. So that's one possibility for the federal stimulus money. Money for Central Corridor, I mean, the approval processes for these new start projects are long and arduous, and it's not clear at this point whether we're going to be able to feed any significant amount of stimulus money into Central. We're bumping along. We got a $20 million. We're hoping to get this $20 million in the 2009 appropriation that would allow us to bring federal money to bear on that. Speeding that up, I'm not sure that can happen. We're still looking into that. Again, the Southwest money, that's the first time that we've had an infusion of money there. So I don't think the stimulus money is going to do too much to actually speed up these big corridors. I think there'll be some investments made in park and rides and other smaller components to add on to these lines or to supplement what we've got available. But I don't see them, given the structure of the stimulus money and the need to spend it quickly, I don't see that we can bring that money to bear on the big investments that we need to make in those lines.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? No, thank you. I understand you were breaking trail on Interstate 94.
I was, Mr. Chairman, and it was quite arduous, but someone who grew up in the snow belt in western Pennsylvania, it was something I'm pretty used to, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we'll take it. We have some changes made on the agenda, and we're going to move up to Representative McCallan and Representative McFarlane, both on the rush line.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Horton,
could I just ask why we're changing the order? I had been on the understanding that Representative Simon was first and I was second, and Representative Simon is supposed to be in Plymouth at 7 p.m. I'm supposed to be in Coon Rapids at 7 p.m. and I wondered if these representatives have a similar situation.
Maybe you want to go up there with them. We got a similar situation, all four of you, as far as I'm concerned. We got to get them out of the way.
Okay.
We weren't aware of
Thank you, Representative Portman, for your observation.
Are you you're in a committee. Do you want to move your bill?
Mr. Chair.
Or you're in a policy committee.
I am on neither of your committees if you're.
I'm on policy.
The House File 391 and House File 838. Or 833, they're both the rush lane corridor. And if you could constrain your time.
We will. We'll do this very quickly. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing us to come in, members. I'm presenting House Bill 833, which is a bonding bill for $1 million. The proceeds to go to the Met Council for a grant to the Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority for acquisition of land, design, and construction of park and rides and park and pool lots along the rush line corridor on I-35 from Highway 61 in the Union Depot in St. Paul to Hinckley.
And Mr. Chair, my bill is very similar to House File 391, and after also appropriating $1 million for parking rides along the rush line corridor, and after some very tough negotiation, I was beaten out by Representative McFarlane, and I'm going to accede and hope that with the wisdom of this committee that we'll move forward with House File 833. But we're partners across the aisle in making sure that our constituents along the rush line corridor have access to transit for the first time all the way up the north part of the metro area on the east side of the metro.
Thank you. Both of these bills, you aware, will be laid over for consideration of the bond bill.
Right.
You have testifiers?
Yes, we do. And I have an office amendment. So this would bring it to the Senate language, and it is on line 1.9. We need to remove the W from 35W.
Remove the W from 35W?
Right, because that does not affect this route.
Mr. Burris, you just want to... take care of that.
Okay. That's it. And with us, I have Ramsey County Commissioner Victoria Reinhardt, who is the Rushline Corridor Chair, and she's here to talk about our bill.
Okay. And that technical amendment, I mean, Mr. Burris, can you
do we need to move that?
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment is page 1, line 9, delete I-35E/I-35W and insert I-35E/I-35.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that amendment. It's been moved and we'll adopt it as a technical amendment. Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Mrs. Reinhardt, or Ms. Reinhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and I know that you are on a tight time frame, so I will try to go through this quickly and be open, obviously, for any questions. The request itself has already been outlined, and so I just want to give you a little bit of a feel for what we've already done on Rushline. We have utilized state and federal funds. In 2005, the Maplewood Mall Transit Center was funded through Rushline. In 2006, the County Road 17 I-35 Park and Ride construction, which is located in Lent Township, just south of North Branch, was completed. We have in 2008, the Forest Lake Transit Center was constructed and opened up. And obviously, these are all very important things, but we need to continue. We also worked with Met Council and Metro Transit on the successful introduction of the Forest Lake Columbus Township to Minneapolis Commuter Coach Service, which is Route 288. They were able to utilize data that we received through the bus study to get that up and going very quickly, and that, of course, was in response to the bridge collapse. And it is proving to exceed the expectations, which is what we expect will happen when the commuter bus service takes place on the rush line from Columbus to Forest Lake to White Bear Township to the Union Depot in St. Paul. The commuter coach bus service that we're talking about, the one-year implementation of a coach demonstration project, Council Member Brian Belisle from White Bear Lake will be talking a little bit about that. The other ongoing project that we have right now is the alternatives analysis, which, as you all know, sitting on this committee, is a requirement in order to access federal funds when we're talking about potential bus rapid transit, light rail, commuter rail, express bus service. And so that will be completed this year, and we can then move forward on accessing additional funds through the federal government because of that alternatives analysis being complete. I think I took a breath in there, but I know that you've got a lot going on, so if there are questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Are there questions? Not. Thank you for.
We have two brief testifiers. We have Brian Belisle from the City of White Bear Lake, who sits on the Rushline Corridor Task Force, and Mike Erickson, who is a Chicago County Commissioner.
Welcome to the committee.
Chairperson Leiter and members of the committee. My name is Brian Belisle. I'm a member of the White Bear Lake City Council. And I just encourage this plan. I think it would be a great benefit to our area, not just White Bear Lake, but White Bear Lake Township and also Vadnais Heights. And I think right now there's a forecast ridership of 260 trips per day. And I believe this is just going to be a high potential for growing. So right now I just basically would like your support and appreciate your support.
Could you spell your name again?
Belisle, B-E-L-I-S-L-E.
Thank you.
First name is Brian, B-R-Y-A-N.
Are there questions from the committee? No, thank you for your testimony. Sir?
I'm Mike Robinson, not Erickson, it's Robinson. I'm a Sauk County Commissioner. I have been on the Rush City Council for 10 years beforehand. I live in Rush City. That's where the Rush Line name came from, Rush City to St. Paul. I'm on the AMC Policy Committee for Transportation, and I want to thank you, Mr. Leader, for what you did last year to help the transportation go forward. I have been to many, many meetings, and when it finally passed, I was down in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I missed it. I'm really happy I'm here today. I drove, for 12 years, I drove 50 miles one way to work and back. And when the roads were like this, by the time I got to work, I worked for a beer distributor in Anoka. And there were times when I got to work, I was drained and I was tired out before I started, then I'd have to go out and deliver 1,000 cases of beer. So I decided I wanted to find an easier job, so I decided to be a politician. So that's just a joke. Right now, we have an opportunity with Congressman Oberstar with a position that he holds. He's with the congressman in Saugus County, and he wants to help the whole state of Minnesota, but he also likes to help his district. Saugus County's in his district, and I think we have an opportunity to get some federal money as long as we move ahead on this. And I'll cut it real short. I want to thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Any questions? Also, if you guys go up the freeway at Rest of the Year, it's a really nice golf course. The guy that cuts the greens is really, really good at it, and they're the perfect greens from between here and the North Pole. So if any of you guys want to stop in and golf, let me know. I'll give you get your break. So
thank you very much for your testimony.
And with that, Representative Leader, Chair Leader, and members, I hope that you will favorably consider our bill as we move forward in the legislature.
And again, the bill will be laid over for consideration. Right. Thank you for concise, lawless people that testified. We appreciate it. Actually, the people that are testifying, we recognize are the people that have been really involved and been pushing it for many years, and that there's still a push, and it's going to happen, I think. So that's great. But thank you. We have Representative Simon. Chair, I'll move House File 383 to be before and to be considered for inclusion into the Bond Committee. It'd be laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thanks for your time. We all really appreciate it. Just one housekeeping matter before I get into the substance. There is an author's amendment, the A1 amendment. So if someone could move that would be helpful.
I'll move that.
Representative Hornstein, move the amendment. Everyone find the amendment. You just want to explain it while we're...
Sure. The A1 amendment is quite technical. It just has to do with how the money would flow. It basically says that it's still a grant to the Hennepin County... Or I'm sorry, it's a grant to the Metropolitan Council, and then it clarifies that the Met Council may provide a grant to the Hennepin County Regional Railroad Authority. We just wanted to make sure we were absolutely precise as a matter of the jurisdiction. This was pointed out to us in the last few days, so that's all it does.
Everyone has heard the... explanation of the A1 amendment. Any questions? If not, the chair Representative Hornstein move the amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Contrary, no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We'll try to be brief and concise. We're here on behalf of the Southwest Transit Corridor for Light Rail. It's a very strong project. It's got high ridership. It will bring people all over the Southwest suburb to and from jobs. It has very strong support on the ground in all of the communities through which it passes, from Minneapolis all the way through Eden Prairie, passing through my district of St. Louis Park and Hopkins as well. There's a Southwest Alliance already in place, consisting of business leaders, and I think letters should have been passed around with strong support from the Twin Lakes Chamber of Commerce, as well as community leaders and opinion leaders in all the communities through which it passes. I just wanted to hold this up, and some of you have seen that this came out in the last year or so. This is from Twin Cities Business Monthly magazine, touting the Southwest Corridor, and it says, "Go Southwest, why we need a light rail line to Eden Prairie." And it's a really compelling article. I didn't pass it out, but I just wanted to let you know the kind of support that's out there for this particular line. According to the Met Council, and you'll hear about that just in a second, the Southwest LRT project, after the Central Corridor, has the best numbers, basically, in terms of ridership, in terms of efficiency, in terms of trips. And so because of that, and because of where we are along in the process, we hope that we will make a good case that this is the corridor that ought to be the next corridor. I'd like to hand it over to the two people who have done the most work on this, starting with Hennepin County Commissioner Gail Dorfman.
Thank you, Representative Simon. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I was thinking opposite of the Sago County Commissioner that if I ever get this through, I'm going to turn to beer distributor.
Would you identify yourself?
Thank you so much. I think you have the latest copy of the Southwest Transway newsletter. I just want to briefly talk a little bit about the history of this corridor. Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority purchased the freight rail corridor that we're looking at in the mid-1980s. And about 8 years ago, we began studying this corridor for the purposes of transit. And as Representative Simon said, it has been a strong partnership from the start, a partnership of Hennepin County, the six cities that are along the corridor, the Metropolitan Council, Southwest Metro Transit, and a very strong coalition of business leaders represented by the Chambers of Commerce along this corridor. We have moved through the basically first two phases of study into the third phase of study. Through the feasibility study, we looked at different modes of transit and route alignments and station locations. We recommended that LRT is a proposed mode of travel for this corridor. We moved through the alternatives analysis and have now begun the draft environmental impact statement with the blessing of the Federal Transit Administration. At each phase, we've narrowed the route alignments and expect that by mid this year, probably mid-summer, we should have a locally preferred alignment decision made for the Southwest Corridor. Up until this point, the Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority has funded all aspects of this study. And as Commissioner McLaughlin said, we were delighted this week to learn that there is money for the Southwest Corridor proposed in the federal 2009 Omnibus Transportation Bill. It is really important as we move along that the state also lend support and signal support to the Federal Transit Administration for Southwest Corridor. And so that's why we are here with a bonding request this year, and I will turn it over to, and I'll say just one thing. When we started the study, and particularly in Minnetonka and Eden Prairie, when we would go out there, they were very opposed to transit, and they even had a very active campaign called Trails No Rails. Now when we go back to Minnetonka and Eden Prairie, they say, how come we have to wait so long? There's been a significant sea change in public opinion all along the corridor, and they're very eager to see this happen. I'll turn it over to Katie.
I have two questions. We didn't get your name, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I'm Hennepin County Commissioner Gail Dorsman.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And another thing you have, I see you still have you established your corridor around the way the south end?
Yes. We need on the south end, the preferred alignment is through the Opus and Golden Triangle Business District. On the map, you'll see, if you're looking at it, it's the one to your right that serves Opus, City West, Golden Triangle, and Eden Prairie Town Center and goes down to Southwest Transit. That is the preferred alignment. On the other end, that's a decision we still have to make, how it gets into the city of Minneapolis.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm Kitty Walker with Hennepin County, and I'm the project manager for the Southwest LRT line. And I just wanted to just quickly tell the committee a little bit about why it is so critically important that at this juncture that state funding is received for the project. To reiterate some of what Commissioner Dorfman said, I think that with the state funding, that will send a strong message to the Federal Transit Administration that this is an important project to the state and to the region, and that this project is ready to move forward. In terms of moving the project forward, as Commissioner Dorfman was talking about, it is our intent to declare our locally preferred alternative in mid-summer, which is a very critical step in our process. At that point, the project will then be ready to make an application to the Federal Transit Administration to be accepted into preliminary engineering. Preliminary engineering will cost somewhere in the range of $35 to $40 million and will take about 2 years. So it is part of gearing up for that process and trying to get the project teed up to enter preliminary engineering in early 2010. And so that's why it is critical that we can start securing our various funding sources so that we can move the project forward and continue the momentum that we have to date with the project.
Other questions?
Yeah.
Representative Beery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Simon, as a testifier, last year we were asking for money for a draft EIS. I'm trying to think of what we're putting at risk here. If this is not accepted by or doesn't move on through the process, and we have $500,000 for a draft EIS, that's one thing. But $5 million for the full-blown EIS and preliminary engineering—is it necessary to have that full-blown EIS done before we approach the feds about whether or not they're going to adopt the project or not?
Well, I would say it's important to have some, Mr. Chair, Representative, it is important to have some state money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't get the full $5 million for preliminary engineering, for the first year of preliminary engineering this year, we would come back to the state and ask for it next year. It is really critical to get something on the table. If it's only the $500,000 that was approved last year and vetoed, it's a start, and we would be pleased with that as well. But it just means we'll come back. We'll need $9 million ultimately for preliminary engineering.
Well, Mr. Chairman, but I'm remembering the process we went through with North Star, how we bit off a little bit that we needed to do without putting a bigger nut at risk than we needed to before the feds approved the project. And that's my specific question. How far do we have to go? How much do we have to put at risk to keep it moving? And yet, if they turn us down, we haven't thrown good money into a project that's not going to go anywhere. Follow me?
Yes. Chair and Representative, in terms of the process that the Federal Transit Administration goes through for the new SARTS project,
mm-hmm.
The funding, when they determine that they will give you the 50% funding is when you get your full funding grant agreement,
mm-hmm.
which is quite a ways down the road. So there is the expectation by the Federal Transit Administration that the local units of government, be it the state, the Hennepin County Rail Authority, and now the County Transit Improvement Board, that the funding is put forth by those entities to do the planning work, the upfront planning work. It is permissible to ask the federal government to assist in paying for some of that,
mm-hmm.
but the expectation is that the funding is secured and it is done by the local units of government.
Before approval or debt locker?
At the point that you receive your full funding grant agreement from the Federal Transit Administration, and the North Star project has received that, the Central Corridor project has not received that yet. They will receive that at a later date. It is at that point that the Federal Transit Administration is pledging the 50% funding, or what we're assuming is the 50% funding.
So the other, Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, the other issue, frankly, is cash flow as you move along.
Yeah.
I mean, on this project, the Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority has provided all of the funding to date, and there gets to be a point where even if there's going to be that federal reimbursement, where it's just hard for us to cash flow, and it's really important to have the state as a partner.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to drag this out because I have colleagues that need to be places, but I thought it was a simple question. We're going to put some taxpayer money at risk here for an EIS for a project that may or may not be approved. Do we have to do a full-blown EIS before we can apply, before we get this approval? Or can we start with a draft EIS like we were talking last year, and then once the feds give us the indication we're moving ahead, then we can go ahead and commit the rest of the money? Do you follow the question?
It's fair and representative.
It's not a good question. I'm just curious as to how that works.
I think I'm understanding a little better your question, and I will try to address it as best I can. In terms of the the draft environmental impact statement, which is what the project is currently in, and it's a $2.5 million study that is being funded by the Hennepin County Rail Authority. There is no federal or state money in there. That is a requirement for a New Start project.
Okay.
So it is a federal requirement.
Mm-hmm.
We expect to finish the draft environmental impact statement by the end of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we are, the New Start application, when you apply to go into preliminary engineering, it is at that point when the Federal Transit Administration approves you to go into preliminary engineering, they are now saying you are a New Start project. They are not necessarily committing all their funding to you, but they are now saying you're real and you're a project.
Okay.
And you can start to then apply on an annual basis to ask for federal appropriations to offset some of the costs. I hope that that helps to answer the, and also just to clarify too, that the Metropolitan Council will be, the project will be transitioning to the Metropolitan Council when it enters preliminary engineering, and they will then be taking over some of the financial management of the project.
That helps quite a bit. Thank you. I just have one other comment, if I may, as Representative Simon, if you're going to be the patron saint, shepherd this through here. As I'm looking at your map, I would just request humbly that you're on your routes 3A and 3C, which look like the preferred routes. Please make them grade separated. Don't be crossing highways with gates. And while we're at it, let's visit that big bridge on Highway 100 that MnDOT desperately needs to replace. Maybe we can work a deal here. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon, or Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a, for my information, in terms of the you know, the North Star, we went through some significant machinations. Part of that process was figuring out what kind of ridership was going to be appropriate, and the FTA came back with some revisions as we went through that process. Have you done a ridership analysis on this particular corridor, and is it going to be favorably with the FTA formula that's currently in existence?
We've done initial ridership numbers that show approximately 30,000 riders a day. Those numbers need to be updated, and we anticipate doing that with the Met Council as soon as the cities have their comp plans into the Met Council, which we need before we can run new ridership numbers to reflect those new comprehensive plans.
Representative Severson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a follow-up to that. Now, the ridership, obviously 30,000 is a pretty significant number. There are no bus routes that are currently carrying those individuals, because in the FTA study, I believe that the bus ridership, which excluded Foley Boulevard for that FTA study, creates some significant problems.
Ms. Walker.
Chair and Representative, in terms of the ridership forecasting that we have done, that number is the close to 30,000. Those are riders on the Southwest LRT line. There would be some conversion from bus to light rail within that number, but we do get a significant number of new transit riders attracted to the system, and those would be new to LRT. We also do leave into existence some of the express bus service out of the Southwest Metro transit station in Eden Prairie that's going to downtown Minneapolis, because the travel times on the bus are actually faster than on the light rail. So in order to provide people with a transit benefit, we left some of those buses in existence.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If there are no further questions, thank you very much. And this bill will be laid over for inclusion, possible inclusion in the bond bill, if there is one.
Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. And for the members in the audience, we do have a lot of data in our packet, if you're aware of it, I think. So, yeah, Representative Horsley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I would move House File 637 be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion in our bonding bill.
Thank you. The bill is before us, and that's House File 637.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, House File 637 would appropriate $500,000 from bond proceeds to study the environmental impact of the Botno Corridor Transitway potential line from downtown Minneapolis to the Target campus in Brooklyn Park and the Arbor Lake retail area in Maple Grove. I have with me today Brent Rusko, the Botno Transitway Study Manager, and he'll just say a few words and we'll be available for questions.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for this opportunity to testify to the committee. I'd just like to go over...
identify yourself, too.
I'm sorry. I'm a Hennepin County staff person and the Botno Transitway Study Manager.
Your name, I mean.
Oh, Brent Rusko. I'm sorry. I'd just like to go ahead with briefly with some of the talk about some of the potential of the Botno Corridor for transitway for a transitway investment. Botno Corridor is, in terms of Metropolitan Council's current study of the system, Botno Corridor is one of two corridors with high potential for LRT implementation, and Southwest Corridor, which you just heard about, is the other one. And this has been a strong corridor. Really going back to the 1980s, it was talked about and studied for LRT implementation. Since the year 2000, the Botno Partnership has been strongly advocating and aligning efforts in this corridor for both land use development and transportation improvements. In terms of corridor-specific features, there's a high concentration of transit-dependent people in this corridor. Certainly there's redevelopment potential in North Minneapolis, and as we go out to the inner ring suburbs, Crystal, Robbinsville, and New Hope, there's demand for redevelopment in those communities. And then, as Melissa mentioned, there's, in the suburbs, there's downtown Maple Grove, Brooklyn Park, Target North Campus, all strong activity centers with growing job potential. And then on the other part of the corridor, we've got a strong potential to connect in with the transitway system at the new Target Field, and that would give us connection to existing Hiawatha LRT, Central Corridor, North Star Corridor, and Southwest Corridor. So real strong potential for transitway integration. Lastly, I'd just like to say that Hennepin County is eagerly seeking partners for the Botno Corridor. A transitway improvement in this corridor would be eligible for 30% County's Transportation Board funding. We have a federal appropriation request for $3 million for project development in this corridor. And Hennepin County is currently doing an alternative analysis study in collaboration with FTA for this corridor. And we contributed $1 million to fund that study and expect completion of that study in mid-2009.
Are there any questions of Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got three quick questions, Mr. Chairman, if that's okay. And Representative Horton, I know you need to go. I tried going home this afternoon, and you can see how well that works. So, where does the name Botno come from? If you could help a greater Minnesota person, I don't know that history.
Mr. Chair, members, as far as I know, Pierre Botno was one of the explorers, but Representative Nelson may know more. This would go through his district as well.
From followers, Pierre Botno was one of the early explorers and settlers in Minnesota, and actually they settled Osseo, Minnesota. And so that's where the name comes from.
And is that then the, Mr. Chairman, is that the street name along County Road 81? I mean, I'm familiar with...
Yeah, it is now.
Yeah, County Road is renamed Botno Boulevard, I think, in 2005.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, if I can continue. On the map that you've given us, there are three different colorations of the corridor. I don't see a key. I'm not sure what that signifies.
Mr. Chair, Representative Reinert, what the blue signifies is where for sure we would see the transitway going. The green is the options on the north end, and the red are the options on the south end.
All right. And Mr. Chairman, Representative Hortman, has a decision been in the introduction? I thought I heard you say Maple Grove, but then in the information it looks like you've got Brooklyn Park or Maple Grove.
Mr. Chair, Representative Reiner, members of the committee, a decision hasn't been made, and there is a possibility of having both a Maple Grove leg and a Brooklyn Park Target campus leg, and I'm advocating strongly for Brooklyn Park or Brooklyn Park and Maple Grove.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Chapman.
As you know, I'm very interested in this particular corridor, as I represent Senate District 58B, and looking at the routes here, the red area, have you all done any work as pertains to ridership to help us decide, or is the money here to help determine what the ridership option should be when we think in terms of the route? Because I think I'm a little more in favor of a route that goes down 10 to 55 and then on to the stadium. Any thoughts about that?
Mr. Chair, the process we have right now, the alternative analysis study, is going to answer those questions. Working with stakeholders in the study area, we've been able to narrow down to this set of preferred alternatives, and we're now in the process of going through detailed technical analysis of these alignments, which will include ridership estimates for each one, for each option.
Any further questions? If not, Representative Hortman, would you do the committee a favor and incorporate that little cruel corridor, whatever it is?
Mr. Chair, I'm strongly supportive of the Little Crow line, but I think this doesn't go that direction. There's a Terry Bonoff and other line that goes out 394 that I support, but it's a different project.
It's a better alternative, you mean, because the representative here isn't here to defend himself. I mean, to bring it in, so I thought we'd get it off the table.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
I too would support any additional line, but that line doesn't go anywhere near.
Okay.
And if this line were built, I could walk to the station and I would take the train in and not have to drive my truck.
Okay. Well, do you renew your motion?
I do, Mr. Terry. Renew my motion.
It was House File, what was it, 637, be laid over to be considered for the bond committee.
Thank you.
We have one more. I think we'll just as well go through, and that's Representative Mason. Representative Mason.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'd like to move House File 960.
Okay, and I see the person that was going to testify isn't going to be here, but he presented.
In lieu of the weather, yes, we...
I can't recognize him in that case. We got it on the agenda.
We found somebody that was willing to substitute so the others didn't have to come in. So Barry Tilley will be
welcome
doing
to the
presentation.
Welcome to the testifier.
Before I do the presentation, I would like to make one amendment to the bill. There is a typo on line 13. So what I'd like to do is make sure that number on 1.13 reads 12 million, so it matches what's on line 1.6.
Mr. Lewis, do you have that? Could you just repeat it for us?
Mr. Chairman, members, the amendment reads page 1, line 13, delete 1,200,000 and insert 12 million.
Quite a difference. Okay, you may proceed. Oh, wait, we've got to move this amendment. Well, it's a technical amendment. We can accept that the amendment's been incorporated into the bill.
Okay, so we're all set. Okay. House File 960.
Do we have to order this? All in favor of the technical amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you.
Now you may proceed.
House File 960 will provide the next installment of state bonding for the Cedar Avenue Bus Rapid Transit Line in Dakota County. This line will begin operation in late 2009 with shoulder-running express buses from the 180th Street Station in Lakeville with a stop in Apple Valley at the transit station and continue to the Mall of America. There will be 6 buses running north in the morning, 6 buses returning in the afternoon. And then when the transit station is completed at Cedar Grove and Egan in late 2009 or early 2010, there will be express buses running from there to the Mall of America. It's expected that the MBTA will begin running buses with stops at all 3 stations ending at the Mall of America sometime in 2010. Both the Apple Valley and Cedar Avenue transit stations were paid for with the EPA federal funding, state bonding, and local Dakota County money. This bonding money will pay for additional property acquisition and roadway improvements to accommodate the shoulder running buses. And again, with me is Barry Tilley, and he will give you a few details.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barry Tilley. I'm here today representing the Dakota County Board of Commissioners, and I apologize. I advise my witnesses to stay down in Dakota County and not add to the congestion in the metro area here, and I hope I can fill in and do the rest of the job for them. You should have in your packets a handout. It's called Cedar Avenue Transitway. The mode, Mr. Chairman, that we are employing here is Bus Rapid Transit, BRT. And at the front of the bottom of the front page of that handout, you'll see some different types of BRT vehicles that are being used around the country right now. They are a more advanced design, just a more modern bus, much more in the way of passenger comforts on those buses. Matter of fact, we just last summer at one of our open houses down in Apple Valley at the Cub Food Store, we had one of these BRT vehicles that was en route to one of the other facilities stop by, and so we could show it to our citizens. We nearly caused a traffic jam on Cedar Avenue from everybody slowing down to look to see what that was. People drove into the parking lot and said, "Where are the train tracks?" I mean, it was. They thought these were train locomotives, and these are very futuristic-looking buses. They are in use, like I say, in several places around the country. Mr. Chairman, there are currently over 100,000 vehicles today that go up the Cedar Avenue corridor and across the river into Hennepin County. The really smart people that are demographers have told us that they expect 90,000 more people to locate in this corridor by 2025. We in Dakota County are moving forward, working with all of the communities in the county and the employers and the businesses to put in place a transit system that will relieve this congestion. Initially, these buses will be just shoulder-running buses. The service that Representative Mason talked about late this fall will start on running on the shoulders up through all the way to the Mall of America into downtown Minneapolis and other locations. Eventually, we currently just completed our final design of those roadways. We are actually going to build beefed up roadways that the buses will run on. That construction won't be done until 2012. We expect from our estimates in our preliminary engineering that this $12 million that we're requesting here will be our last request for phase one of our Cedar Avenue BRT line. And we expect the full construction from this to be completed by 2012 when full BRT service will be in place and operating. I'm not the smartest guy. The transit guy that was supposed to be here knows a lot more of the details than I do. But I didn't want to take a lot more of your time. I've told you just about everything I know, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try to answer some questions if you have some.
There are 2 things I could maybe direct one to Representative Hornstein. Isn't part of this the tail end of the UPA?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the urban partnership agreement that we passed as a legislature and was signed into law to access $133 million of federal money will assist, I think, in some of the park and ride and infrastructure for this. Is that correct, Mr. Tillery?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hornstein, that's correct. The three park and rides that are we're beginning construction on right now, in the coming weeks here, the one at Lakeville, and on your map, there's a map on the back, and you'll see the one third from the bottom at Lakeville, the 180th Street. That will be completed by, virtually complete by December of this year. The next one up, 155th Street in Apple Valley, will be complete. The one at Cedar Grove will be the last one of the three, and that may go into 2010 final completion. There's been some difficulties with right away. The federal authorities have granted us a short extension to meet all the deadlines, but those three are being paid for with a combination of UPA, the Urban Partnership Agreement fund from the federal government, and the bonding that we received from through the state legislature last year.
Representative Beard?
Two questions, maybe for Representative Hornstein, Holberg, or Representative Mason. Does part of the UPA agreement include bringing the third lane further south on Cedar Avenue? You know, it kind of starts in a weird place there and really should come down to 35E. Is that part of the plan for congestion relief?
Representative Hornstein or Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, I'm not familiar with that part of the project. I don't know if Representative Holberg...
Representative Holberg?
Mr. Chair and Representative Beard, I don't believe that the third lane is part of the UPA deal. My understanding is they are doing preliminary evaluation of what's called a zipper lane in the Cedar Avenue corridor, whereby they would actually move the barrier so that a lane would be northbound in the morning, and then they, some of you may have seen this, models of it, but then they actually slide the barrier over and use that same lane as a southbound lane in the afternoon, and supposedly that'll be determined in the preliminary stuff will be out in March on that. So I think they're taking a look at this, whether that's an option, and then that'll help determine what exactly the other improvements are. But there is a need for a more capacity on that road.
Thank you, and thank you for the explanation. The stations, how are they going to be structured, either Barry or Representative Mason? Are they going to be both sides of the freeway, at signal intersections only so buses can enter and exit, or do you know what the stations are going to look like?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Beard, yes, the stations will be on just one side of the road. They'll be adjacent. Matter of fact, we have an existing transit station in Apple Valley, but because of the federal requirements of the amount of time, we are moved. Actually, we're going to leave that there, and we're building an entire new one, a new station that is right exactly adjacent to Cedar Avenue. But the stations will only be on one side. The buses, however, will run in the same direction of traffic on both sides. But they have to cross over to get
crossed over then.
At Cedar Avenue, we are building, I think, triple deck. Parking facility, and with the stimulus money that Commissioner McLaughlin talked about earlier today, it's my understanding that we are getting a fourth level on that parking structure through the stimulus money. So this is maybe some of you over the last few years have heard about the traffic problem, parking problem around the existing Cedar Avenue station. It is just awful. I think Representative Holberg has heard about a little bit. But we definitely need a lot more parking there. The Dakota County, through a bonding, the previous bonding amount, was able to purchase a brand new piece of property right adjacent to our existing stretcher, and that will be where the new transit station will be located.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Do you have any other testimony?
No.
Mr. Chair, I wrote you my motion for 96. Lakeville South Place, Stillwater, starting at 6 at the Girl's Hockey Tournament.
Beg your pardon?
the Lakeville Parade, Stillwater, at 6 o'clock at the XL for the girls' hockey, state hockey tournament. So.
And the sweatshirt.
Mr. Chairman, we have a committee report also.
Yeah, we just got a committee report. But anyhow, Representative Mason renewed her motion that House File
960
be referred or laid over and possible inclusion in the bond bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Representative Hornstein, you want to move your House File or your Mason report?
Mr. Chairman and members, we have a division report for the Transportation Policy and Transit and Oversight Division for House File 85. That's Representative Junkie's bill related to GPS systems, and I believe we need to move that to the finance.
To the finance bill?
Yeah. No. Is that correct? So I would move that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any questions? And
just a brief comment.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hornstein, thank you for a refreshingly common sense bill that we can all enthusiastically support. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And also, if you see Representative Junkie, thank you.
If there are no further questions, all in favor of the division report, moving it to the transport or the finance division? Say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion is adopted. We also have the minutes. Did someone move the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Hogle moves the minutes. So two. We have 2 minutes. Two.
So moved again.
The minutes of February 17th and February 24th have been moved by Representative Hogle. Any additions or corrections? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary? The minutes are approved. The next meeting is next Tuesday.
I believe it's 4:30 p.m., not a.m.
4:30 p.m. is usual. And thank all of you for being here. We couldn't dismiss this.
Well, we got primary seatbelt. It'll take a while.
Oh, that'll take, yeah. Next week is primary seatbelt. But we couldn't cancel this meeting because we didn't have authority from leadership, and we also had people that came in. So that was it. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.